Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, and since I'm running a solo show, you know what it is, guys. It's a Coffee Time Kicks episode, and well, welcome to 2026. New Year's here, and I had to start the year off with the bang. I have someone who is true to the sneaker game and probably has seen every facet from ins and outs, from the business side to the design side, energy side, a lot of things, and I'm super happy, super excited to have her here, and that is the great Jazzeray Allen Lord. Jazz, how you doing today?
Oh man, I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. We've been following each other for a long time.
Yeah, no, definitely have. And I love seeing the things you've been doing, things you contribute to the sneaker community. And I mean, we had to make it happen. So I'm glad that you got to be my first show of the year. So thank you so much for that.
Man, no problem.
Yeah. So if you guys watch the show, you listen to the show, you know the first thing we like to do is our traditional rocking and copping. So rocking what you've been wearing lately, copping something you recently got or something on the radar. So Jazz, what you got? What's on foot lately?
Okay.
I know that box.
My 005. Oh my God. They're so comfortable.
Love it.
The only thing is they make my feet look so big, and I the thighs up a little bit. John says they're like a little bit tight, so he's yeah. I look and a half, but he's like, no, you have seven. So I have a seven, and I'm so small already that it makes my so big. Yeah. Something that I copped recently. I don't know if this counts, but I got it on the sneakers app, so it should count.
It counts. I love it. Ooh, the Gold Domes. That the do they actually have like kind of that faux hair on it?
Yeah, they're pulling.
I like that pair.
Ooh, I love these, and then I've slept too long, so I missed the drop, and I had to chase around the internet to find it, so.
Such a good pair. I mean, perfect for the weather. I live in Texas, so I don't get to enjoy things like that so often, but I would find a way to throw those on in any kind of cooler weather.
I have to like up my winter collection. I'm from California, but I live on the East Coast, and not everything wearing everything, which ironically, after years, I'm still struggling with. But here we are.
Hey, you're making it happen. You took the steps. You're getting the stuff in the collection. So, I mean, hey, nothing wrong with that. And I got a big shout out to the homie John Geiger, because I love that shoe. That was one of my top 10 sneakers of the year, the 005. He really knocked it out of the park with that one. So shout out to John as well. But guys, we're here for Jazz. We're here to talk about all things Jazzeray and what she, again, contributes, the things that she's learned along the way, the knowledge that she imparts on the younger sneaker community looking to make it in this industry. I mean, Jazz, you've done a little bit of everything. You started writing for Kicks on Fire to now running your own. Oh, go ahead.
But a regular person. I could culture.
Jazz, are you able to hear me? Sorry, Nick, if you listen to this part, probably gonna edit this out. Are you able to hear me okay? You faded out just a little bit. I was like, dang it, some of what you said.
I can hear you. Maybe it's because I don't have there. Can you hear me better now?
There we go. That sounded a lot clearer.
Okay.
Perfect, perfect. If you don't mind, could you repeat exactly what you said? Because I want to make sure I don't short you on anything that was there.
No, I just wanted to clarify that, like, I come from the culture, because that's a big conversation I see online of, like, these people that are in positions, they don't come, they're not from the culture. But it's like, no, I started as somebody who came from a skateboarder who came into sneakers through skate shoes like Etnies, Osiris, and DVS, and Nike SB.
Yeah.
So my dad was into Jordans heavy, and like I wore Jordans, but I was heavy, and like skate shoes were more so my thing.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, that was actually so I want to dive into that with you, because, again, I know people will say, oh, OK, here's resume. But where did it come from? You answered that question. You're like, you read my mind, which is perfect. So and that's something we had kind of discussed a little bit on Twitter or X, whatever people want to call it, the skateboarding side of things, because I grew up skateboarding. I'm absolutely terrible at it, but I'm trying to get back into it. You know, a 36 year old with my 11 year old, because he's gotten into it now. So skate culture is something that's been, you know, important in my life, and clearly important to yours as well. you know, what was that? What was that first shoe? Was it a skate shoe that you got your hands on? Or what was that first shoe?
Well, the first shoe I like lusted after was like a Chuck Taylor, because my mom was like a single mom and she was buying me like Payless shoes and like off brand shoes. So a Chuck Taylor was like, oh, like all the cool kids, obviously coming from the West Coast, had like real Chucks. And like, so that was like the first shoe that I was like, ah, I gotta have that. But the first shoe I spent my own money on was the Jordan 11 I.
Okay. Underrated shoe.
Yeah. So, and then I spun the block like years later, maybe like 2004, 2005. And I bought them from my resale shop, Rosewood, in San Diego.
Nice. That's, again, one of those underrated shoes. I love the Jordan 11 IE. I think, honestly, they age better than a regular Jordan 11 because of the lack of patent leather. But it's one of those shoes that's like, you have to put it on to really find an appreciation for it, because it's the normal 11 just kind of overshadows it so much. That's really cool. That's one of those, like you said, the first one you got with your own money. That's super dope. Now, coming from the culture, you know, loving sneakers, loving the fashion, loving the things that involve sneakers, what was it like when you got the, when you were given that ability to write for Kicks on Fire? Because again, not just an industry person, just like, hey, someone put me here, I have to write. What did that mean, being able to talk about something you actually like positively loved in a professional aspect?
I didn't appreciate it for what it was back then, for sure, because it was something for fun. You know, like I was working at the Girl Scouts in marketing, and I had seven was a newborn. Yeah, I used to work with kids and like doing a lot of like community based work, which like speaks a lot to the projects I take now, I think. But seven was a newborn at the time. And so when I was approached to do it, it was like, do you want to do it? Yeah. And you want to write about sneakers? And I was like, do I want to do the thing I'm already doing for free? I was like, got them on Tumblr and on MySpace. Like,
old Tumblr.
So I was like, yeah, of course, like, absolutely. You're going to pay me to do the thing I love to do for free. And so I started, and I didn't understand. It's only been until as time has gone by, and like recently, because a lot of the people I started with have had really big moments recently, like Don and like Nigel, you know? All these people, like, we came up together in this business. Like, I came up writing, like, Alexander John, like, giving them spotlight when they were starting out in all of this in the media. And so now I can appreciate the reach of my work, or, like, when people started telling me, oh, I read your articles when I was in high school, or I grew up reading your articles. And it's like, oh, my gosh, like, now the kids that read me are like in the community having opinions. It's like, you know, that part is always that's like gives me scope into the perspective of what I've done.
Yeah. And just having that staying power, because we know sneakers is so like turn and burn sometimes, you know?
Well, also because people in sneakers, and this bothers me so much, is like they only think about one entry point of how they can participate.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times it's content, like get ready with me and da-da-da-da, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you burn out because you do that. And it's like I tell people all the time, like, you're not going to be 50 years old unboxing sneakers. Like, I promise you that, you know, like, so you're not going to want to anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like that's the thing about, to your point, longevity and consistency is like you can pop one time. Let's say that happens for you at 19. Now you have to like keep that up until you retire, if this is who you want to be. Mm-hmm. And like, what does that look like as it shifts and as you grow? Like, how do you grow with it? You know?
100%. I know it's crazy. It's something I really think about a lot, doing not only the podcast side of things, but doing the YouTube, the Instagram. It's like, it is definitely cool to unbox and like break down sneakers. I think unboxing and reviewing, I feel like it can be very different, because you're actually, if you're going down to real storytelling, really talking about the method of construction, things like that, I'm like, okay, I like that, because we're actually doing something, providing a value to the community out there. And sometimes I feel like people get stuck on the, hey, I'm going to unbox your shoes just to show you that I was able to buy it. And it's just like, hey, is it for to help the community, or is it just a flex to say, hey, I had $300 at the time to buy this? So yeah. I think you're spot on when you say that, Jazz. Like, the stay in power really comes to, what are you contributing? And did you pop off from something random that you can't sustain?
Yeah. And like today, I'm not like, I did the influencer thing for a while, but like, mm-hmm. I'm 44 years old. Like, you're not calling me for a campaign, you know, like unless like you want, you're speaking to a mom or something, like you're not calling me for to be the face of your campaign at this point of my career. And so now I like unbox my it's interesting that you say, like, are you just trying to show me that you had the money to buy it? Because mm-hmm. I think that maybe my unboxings on Instagram can be perceived that way, but for me it's more so like to show that I'm still in the game, like nice. I'm still a consumer, you know, and mm-hmm. Here's my taste level, because a lot of people are interested in that. They want to know, like,
definitely,
what are you buying? What clothes are you buying? What handbags are you buying? Like, they want to know, even down to, like, you know, what mouthwash are, you know, they want to know, like, they want to know everything. Like, what glasses are you buying? Like, yeah. All of these types of things. And so I unbox things, but I'm not mm-hmm. giving you a story, mm-hmm. you know, like, or I'm not really, I'm definitely not making content, you know. Like, when I did influencer work, I would hire people to do that piece of it. Because, you know, I tweeted today, God didn't create me to edit videos. That's not my, you know, my superpower.
Yeah, not the fun part. I tell you that. I love recording. I love, like, the idea of planning. But when you sit behind a computer to edit, I'm like, is it over yet? Every time we're done with this part.
I hate filming it. It's like, ugh. When I'm in conversation, I love it. But, like, myself, like, I have 10 pairs of shoes that I have to put on the internet. And it's like, now I'm thinking, like, do I really need to put them on the internet? Like, yeah, because I want I want my brand clients to know that I'm still
active,
yeah, you know, in this part of the business. Because it matters to my clients. Like, are you tapped mm-hmm. in, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, see, something to add on to what I said earlier, I think we also depends on intent. Like, what is your intent? Like you said, you're staying active for your brand, your business. Hey, I'm still, for lack of better words, I'm still in the streets. My ears to the ground. I know what's going on. And it's for a purpose. There's a purpose behind it. So I think there's so many different levels to it. And it just depends what's your mindset, what is your end goal. And for what you're doing and how you're doing it, it makes perfect sense. It's like, hey, I'm working with XYZ clients. I'm still a part of this. It's not fading out. I'm not just moving over to the side. No, I'm still very acclimated to
I'm not those people that goes home at 5 o'clock and like doesn't read the sneaker news. You know?
There you go. That's the best, simplest way to put it. I'm still looking in these blogs. I'm still talking about the news, figuring out what's happening in the sneaker community online. And that's the best way to do it. I mean, I feel like that's something.
On social platforms so I could see who's next and, like, you know, kind of where am I putting my investment in for, because again, I'm old and a big conversation.
You're not old, Jazz. 44 is not old. Don't do that.
a big conversation in the BFF before, because I think most people know I had a stroke last year. Before, like when I came back to the first board meeting, they were like, yeah, like we really need to start thinking about, who's next and like who's going to be the next us. Like,
yeah,
there's probably, I would say, 30-ish people in 30-ish black people in footwear that really do a lot. Like, you know, they not only are they like leadership of the BFF, but they like sit in prominent positions at brands and they work together and they network and they share resources, you know. And so I'm one of those people. And so it's like, when we're all gone, when the Dwayne Edwards, you know, like when we're all gone, then like what happens next? And is there a toolbox or like, are we kicking out individuals that we think could carry the flag? Right. And so then I came back from the stroke. They were just like, oh my gosh, like we were already thinking this. And now like, basically, bitch, you almost died. And now like, this is a real thing. Like, this was something that was like theoretical, but like now,
oh no,
you know, now it's like a real thing. Like, what are we going to do? You know? And so I think about that a lot when it comes to women's storytelling.
Yeah.
And just the fact that there are so many facets of women and especially women in sneakers that like, you can't just have one hero voice, you know, like, and that's typically what they've given us is like Melody or Sophia Chang and then Melody Ehsani, Aleli May. They want to give you like one hero. And it's like there's so many different facets of women. And also a lot of women that I think like gender neutrality has become like a very big, or unisex sizing has become like big also, because it's like a lot of women are inspired by men. So we shop by style, not all the time. Like, and a lot of men are inspired by women because, as you know, many women in sneakers know, like, we put that shit on. And so it's like,
yeah, you do, you do.
Yeah. You know, a lot of men are inspired by that. And so it's trying, like, there should be many different faces, if you will, of sneaker culture, just like there are of men. Mm-hmm. Like, there are so many different men that you can aspire to be in, you know, in sneaker culture.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with it wholeheartedly. It's one of those things, like, I feel we need to have balance for both sides. I mean, it's when I look at, like, my wife, she wasn't a sneaker collector, like, when we got married, but now she, you know, we spend more and more years together. I'm trying to rub off on her, and she's loving a lot of different things out there. And for someone who's not a sneakerhead, but still maybe wants to just kind of look and see, okay, well, what's out there, gives her that ability to, again, more voices, something she can relate to more. I think that would be awesome. Also, along with my son, I have three daughters. They're younger, where they're not quite into the sneakers. The oldest of the three, who's four, going to be five this year, got her first pair of Dunks, and she picked them out herself. And it was like beeline in the store. I want those. Didn't say a word. I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. But it's just awesome. I want her and her sisters to be able to have people like you, Jazz, to go and not just say, oh, okay, that's a fit, but a fit, knowledge, be able to do the content, all the things that you guys are promoting. It's amazing because, again, it can't just be a bunch of dudes doing it all the time. We need to have, again, that balance in the space, because it's not guys just collecting. It's women, and women doing it very well.
Yeah. And I'm, like, not the fit girl. Like, I leave that to, like, the Kickseeds and, you know, the Kickseeds and the Keys. Like, I leave that. Like, that is not my ministry, you know, but... I always said, like, I said I like sneakers. I never said I was, like, a fashionista or, like, a streetwear queen.
I feel that. Takara, I feel that.
Takara is the girl that can put it all on, you know? So, like, definitely not my ministry. But I think that it is important to have, like, for me, it was like, okay, well, I wanted to, when I was leaving Kicks on Fire, I wanted to figure out, like, what do I do next? Like, mm-hmm. What other opportunities are available? And I could really only look at Melody, because Melody had the nails going, and she had Carol, and she had other partnerships. Like, she wasn't just doing sneaker content or, like, fit pics, you know? And so I was like, oh, she's an entrepreneur. And I know Vashti, and, like, back then it was like, okay, but Vashti's like a DJ. Like, I don't want to be like a forward facing person, you know?
Yeah.
So I think for me, it was important to represent, not just to young women, but to young Black people in general, that, like, there are so many opportunities on the backside of sneakers that create the stuff that you see online. And I like to speak a lot to what those roles are and what those opportunities are, and educate on the agency space. And because a lot of people don't know that, they think, like, Nike puts out everything. They don't know about Wyden, you know? So,
yeah. Go ahead.
In that space of, like, educating about the different opportunities.
Yeah, and I said that's super helpful to know, because, you know, when I mean, of course, love of sneakers from a kid, but as I got older, trying to figure out, hey, where's my space in this? First thing you do is go look at Nike.com careers or Adidas.com careers, and God knows how many jobs we've all applied for, and millions of people applying. It's just like, hey, well, it's really disheartening, because a lot of times you can't get into these spaces. But for what you're doing, Jazz, and, you know, with your fellow members of the BFF, I think it's awesome, because, A, I know something that you're passionate about, something you spend your time mentoring, you know, Black individuals who are looking to get into the space. And like you said, give them that insight. It's not just to brands. What about agencies, or maybe putting, but checking out who's next in the content space, who's providing something. I think that's something that's amazing, because they don't share that. Like, it's always, hey, if you don't get the door at Nike, what you gonna do? It's like, well, now we know there's more. And I wanted to, when I was just kind of prepping for the episode, it's like something I wanted to really commend you on, is that a lot of people get to a certain point, certain stature, certain notoriety, that they're done. You know, it's not next man up. They're kind of like, when I'm done, y'all figure it out. And you being able to sit and mentor folks and really, you know, interact, because that's something a lot of people just want sometimes, just kind of that validation not for, oh, the sneaker's dope, but validation like, hey, am I going the right way when it comes to my content or, you know, my path? I think that is something that speaks volumes to who you are, Jazz, and really what you provide to the community.
Thank you. You know, that's what my whole business is about, is trying to, I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? And everybody was like, you got to start a business. And I'm like, okay. And so when I did, it was like, okay, well, I want to bring people, again, I'm like, I'm not talented at everything. And I'm not going to shoot everything. I'm not going to build everything. I'm not going to design everything. But I want to have oversight and creative and art direction over everything that comes out of my shop. And like, have it be to what the brands would consider a level of excellence. So like everything that comes out, you know, so I want to create opportunities, which I've been able to do. I'm so blessed to bring in young Black and brown people, young women. A lot of the times my shop is just like a team of women, and we go into pitches. There, people are looking at us like, oh my gosh, because they never, like, six Black women on an agency team.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, we go, you know, that's kind of what the business for me was like about, like, okay, now that I've mentored all these people or like given direction or opportunities, like how can I kind of put it all in one place?
Yeah.
And also give them their first opportunity at working with the brand.
So as you're looking at these individuals to mentor, what, for those listening, you know, trying to figure their way out in the space, what are you looking for, Jazz, when it comes to that person? You say, you know what? I want to, you know, I want maybe want to mentor them, or somebody could say who's, you know, quote unquote next up. What it was that thing or things?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people have commended me on or labeled me like as a like who's up next, like having a good radar for that. Excuse me. And for me, when I'm looking around, it's like, especially in the content creation space, like whose production level is, you know, up there.
Yeah.
And two, like who is like doing the business, you know, when you're approaching me, and how we're interacting, and how, you know, those, all those things, like the business of it, like, are you, do you have that under control? Are you confident? And but that's a whole other thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You have to believe in yourself. You want me to believe in you. You don't even believe in me. Which, you know, what are we going to do here? And so I think that those are the things I'm looking at, you know, when I see inconsistency, that like, and like variety, like not just the same thing all the time.
Definitely.
But
yeah,
when it comes to people that, like, I never have looked at somebody and said, I want to mentor them. But I think that I've seen people and said, like, okay, well, we smooth out those edges a little bit. You know, you might have something special there.
Yeah.
Those people often find me. And
makes
so
sense.
It's like, okay, well, they'll come, they'll be in my DMs and they'll say, hey, like, this is where I'm at. Like, I, you know, I don't know. And sometimes I know them and a lot of times I don't. But I'll say, okay, yeah, I've seen your content and I've seen what you do. And I think you do have something special going on there. And so, yeah, let's sit down and talk. And
okay,
like, a lot of them are like, hey, do you want me to pay a fee? And it's like, no, I don't. You know, there's a ton of those services where it's like, no. People like me is like, oh, we can sign up for a $75 call or whatever. It's like, for me, it's not about the money. You know, it's like wanting to make sure that more people that look like us are in the rooms when I'm walking into the room.
Yeah.
So that it's not a shock when you see six Black women in the pitch.
Yeah. Know? It's like, make it par for the course. That should be normal. And, you know, one of those things you said is just like the confidence piece. I think that is super important as people are trying to be, you know, front facing. I mean, everyone has a phone now. When I say, the reason I say phone is because these cameras are as good as some of the expensive cameras out there. So you can throw your face up on there and you can talk. I think confidence is a big thing. Believe what you say, and a variety as well, because I know people have certain like brand loyalties and things like that, but I think it's very important to widen the scope to say, hey, look, there's a lot of things out there, a lot of ways I can talk about it. Don't pigeonhole yourself, because all it does, I feel like it hurts you in the long run, which I think you could agree upon as well. But with that, I feel like in, not only do they have to have those qualities you mentioned, some things I noticed is like, and I'm trying to find the best way to say this, because I hate the arguing amongst each other that we see a lot in the social spaces, because I think everybody is so dang talented in their own right that if they could just come together, I feel like you said, seeing six Black women and more Black people in general, brown people in general in these boardrooms, I think it would happen more, because we have the power, because a lot of us are, you know, very consistent voices, very intelligent voices. Just, I think the battle for the top spot gets from friendly competition to, all right, let's chill out now.
I think that is also like the things that people are arguing about online, like, you know, very lowbrow, like things that don't matter in the grand scheme,
yes,
of sneaker culture and the sneaker industry. It's like these things don't even matter. So what are we really doing here?
Exactly.
And it's not a good look, like, mm-hmm, you know, because people don't want to be like myself. I don't want to be associated with stuff like that. So it's like, you know, I'll just step back. I responded to Trayvon been dragged, you know, this whole, like, the last few days.
And, oh, yeah. Right. No, that's the homie. I don't understand that one, but hey.
Exactly. And he's, like, legit a master at what he does, you know?
Yes.
And he don't just do it in sneakers. Like, mm-hmm, you know, the NBA, he dominated NBA Twitter, if you will. Like,
yeah.
That. And, like, I think that people don't understand the business of it, and, like, you know, that's why I said, like, how people are engaging with you.
Yeah.
It, like, I responded to his tweet and I was like, that's why I don't even get involved in the conversation. And I exit quickly. Like, when it starts to get like that, it's, and I think with sneakers, it's very emotional because we have a, mm-hmm, I mean, obviously, how many of us have bedrooms that look like this? You know?
Yeah, it's like we have a problem, but it's okay. Yeah. It's a problem we love.
We have an emotional tie to the shoes. And so we're already, like, hyped up, you know, when we're in the conversation. And then a lot of the times people get personal, mm-hmm, when they're like, you know, a lot of it is like, your fit is trash. Like, and, you know, it's like, for me, like, I don't care. Like, you tell me my fit is trash, like, I'm going on about my day. But a lot of people can't. They take that as, like, somebody told them they were stupid, or, like, you know, like the dumbest person they ever met. And so they get to going back and forth on the personal insults. And then it's not about sneakers anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where we lose it. But it's not just, like, bad for the community and the culture. It's, like, bad for business, you, mm-hmm, know? So, and that's to your point, why you say a lot of people get to a place and they're just like, I'm good. It's like, yeah, because they don't, I understand it now. It's like, I'm, mm-hmm, not putting my livelihood, like, I don't do this for fun. You know,
right.
Like, this is my real life business and how I'm putting my kid through college, you know, mm-hmm, how I've raised my children for 20 years. So I'm not letting you play around with that because you don't like what I have on today, or you don't, you know, whatever the situation is. I'm going on about my business. And so, cause it's like, this is my real life. It's not just, not that I'm not just somebody that collects, but it's like, it affects me in a lot.
Yeah. There's more ramifications for you. It's like, I still love this. I love being a part of the community, but you're not gonna mess up my livelihood, like you say, for nonsense because someone got Twitter fingers today, you know?
Cause somebody don't like me today. Like, you will be blocked. Like, I'm very liberal with the block button.
Oh, I'm gonna protect that piece. That block button is a protect the peace button, because guess what? I got a wife and four kids, and I'm trying to make this into something. If you don't like me, it's, hey, I got you. Not everyone's going to like me, but I understand. Mm-hmm. Move on. But it's a walking resume. I think that's what we have now that we didn't have, let's call it 20 years ago. This space, these accesses to platforms that we can do all this by ourselves. We can, even though it is strenuous and it's not fun at sometimes, we can be a one-man, one-woman production crew. And I think a lot of times, when people ask me about how do you get your work out there, I'm like, well, I keep working. And that's something you know very well. Like, you keep working. Everything we do is a walking, breathing, living resume, from the videos to perspectives we put out. And I think that's something that I hope that more people can understand, because keep, like you said, consistency, keep working, keep getting better. Because those things, people will see them. The right people will see them at the right time. I know people want to this kind of microwave mentality. It's like, I want it now. They see people go viral for the wrong things. And they try to, like, I want to go viral. I want to get picked up by this brand. I want this contract, this brand deal. It takes time. I mean, I personally, 5 years or, well, 6 years now into everything. And it's like, I've definitely made headway, but I know there's way more I can do and way more I'm working on still. Just the patience factor, I think, is lost. And how do you feel about that, you know, Jazz, from your time, you know, from your start to now, your belief on just kind of the biding your time, but working in that process? What is your advice on that for people?
I think it's important to remember that, like we talked about earlier, you're not going to be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So always understanding, like, I always like to look at like, where am I, what am I going to do in 5 minutes and in 5 months and in 5 years? Mm. Like, what does it look like in each of those intervals? And if it's, you know, and then how am I going to parlay it into the next thing? Like, how am I this to set up what's next? And for me, I wasn't thinking that when I was like, when I was like Kicks on Fire, I was just like helping him build the business and like having fun, you know, like, okay, now I have, when I became a single mom, I was like, okay, you're going to have to do something now, like more realistic than just writing these articles. And, you know, what, how are you going to use all this to parlay it into something, the next thing? And it really, like that time really helped me in the seeding, like everybody, like, you know, they kept seeding me when I left media. So I was able to like create content.
Yeah.
Had those relationships, because I think Trayvon said on Twitter, like, people seed people, brands don't seed people. So like,
biggest fact ever.
And this business is very incestuous. People move around, they don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, yeah, you might have been at Nike, but now you're at Adidas. Like, you're going to keep seeding me wherever you are, because that's the relationship that
exactly.
we have. And so I was able to create content, which like parlayed into an influencer moment. And then I had my shoe deal, but I was doing strategy work at that time. And so I was working with Reebok on like their retail strategy.
Yeah.
And like what we talked about before, that like people shop by style heroes and not necessarily by gender. And so I was having strategic conversations with the C-suite about that. And then they were like, well, why don't you do a pack? And I was like, And it was never my dream. I never thought, oh, I wish I had my own shoe. Like, I was not one of those kids. Like, so it was just like, no, like, I don't know if I could do a whole pack. Like, but I was also like, me, like, my persona is not, I don't think, like, is sellable as like a whole pack. So what if I, you know, I was like, I'll do it if you allow me to bring in other, like, to do it in a different way. Like, I want to bring four other women in that have different personalities on the back end of the business, you know, and so we can represent like all these ways that women are working in the business and stylish, and like you can have all those things, you know. And so they were like, okay, that's fine. But I was working with them on a strategic engagement when
Also, I see. I didn't know. I was going to ask you that capacity, because when your Reebok came out, I didn't know if it was, again, like I said, on the influencer side of things or how that came about. So that's awesome. I didn't realize that your opinion was so valued. They're like, hey, go ahead. Just go in there, get in the kitchen, cook it up, Jazz. And it sold out. Like, your shoe, people are still looking for that shoe from what I've seen in, like, the different spaces and just the different places I run into. Because Reebok's one of my brands I love to go to. Have a great relationship with them. I love the shoe since I was a kid, so it just works. But I remember when your shoe came out, it was like, they were out there. So, I mean, first of all, that's an amazing feat to have that just kind of under the belt.
Yeah, and I think it's even better that it's not in the aftermarket. Like, the people that bought it, they really wanted it for
they
their collection.
Yeah.
And they're wearing them. And so that, to me, means a lot. But yeah, it was, I was working at an agency, and I brought in Reebok as a client at the agency. Okay. And then they brought me in for strategic consultations on the women's aspect of and also on their brand positioning and on their retail strategy, like, because they were having a lot of difficulty with the fitness. Like, Reebok is supposed to be the fitness-based part of it. And when they were brother-sister with Adidas, Adidas was sport. And so it was like, what does fitness mean? And so it was like trying to understand, even amongst the stakeholders in the room, they all had a different definition of what fitness was. And so it's like, we all got to first come together on what is fitness, and like, so that it can be defined through the brand.
Yeah.
Because some people thought fitness was like CrossFit, for example. And some people thought fitness was like, I run marathons. And then people were like, okay, what about yoga? And what about, you know, these like personal things that I do, is that fitness? And like, how do you convey that, like, in your retail space and in your offerings, and like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was working with them in that capacity.
Okay. Well, were you there when they were still sponsoring CrossFit?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Kind of, they had a moment there for a minute.
Like, transition.
Got you. Okay. Got you. Cause I know they were, like you said, they were kind of looking for that identity at that point, and they had that for a while. But now, I mean, I feel like Reebok has definitely still some more work to do, but I feel like they've definitely really been making a mark again in the, yeah, you know, on the basketball side, of course, but also when it comes to the fashion side. I mean, that's kind of the more important thing everybody's kind of run to right now. But I think what they're doing has been awesome. But I didn't know that. Like, that's a cool story.
That's something I worked with New Balance on the strategy side, too, was like, your shoes are dope, but you only got 2 pages of clothes for women.
Oh, are you serious? I didn't realize that. I mean, clearly, I've never just go check it out. Only 2 pages?
Well, back then, like, they're doing a much better job now. But, like, back then, it's like, you know, okay, what am I going to, you know, you have to have more. You want me to shop here for the full look. You need to have more offerings.
For sure.
And outside of, like, leggings, you know, like, more, like, things for women.
Yeah, and that was always seemed like the brand's go-tos, like, for women is like, and that was, I feel like, for everybody for a while, just got some t-shirts, here's some leggings.
Yeah.
T-shirts are pink, maybe some white ones. It was like, I don't think anybody wants that, but you go to websites now, I love going to, like, Nike, for example. I've always loved the ACG and the SB line, and seeing what they have is unisex now, like the baggy pants, the really cool graphic shirts, the was it Gorp Corp type stuff they have. It's for everybody now. It's not, they're not pigeonholing women into just the same old, and again, people like you coming in to say, hey, you guys are doing it wrong. This is what they actually want, because women don't just want the same thing. I think that's what the biggest issue was. They don't want just the same things. They want some of the cool stuff the men have, and, you know, some of their own cool things.
That right there was like an insight to them. Like, when I this was like 5 or 6 years ago, and I'm telling Reebok, like, I was inspired by Allen Iverson in my, like, that was my style hero growing up. So like, you women are not always inspired by other women's fashion, and like, it was a mind fuck for them that, like, women shop men's first a lot of the times.
Okay.
We're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, because we want, like, this is men's, like, you know, it's like this. And so now a lot of the brands are offering a women's, you know, a women's offering. But a lot of us have shopped men's first. And, like, skating, when I was in skate, you know, skate culture heavy, when I was actually skating, I would buy the boys' clothes, because they were bad gear. And I'd have to use the shoelaces from, like, a lot of the trends, or the crop tops. So, you know, these trends came from us, like, modernizing boys' clothes in order to work for us and, you know, in sports.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so I read an article that, or write up they did on you in Essence, and I guess a few years back. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was that you got a lot, when you were a kid, you got a lot of hand-me-downs from an older cousin, a boy. Yeah. And was that kind of where that, I mean, again, it's probably not something you thought about as a kid, because it's like, oh, clothes and put them on. But did that kind of push your fashion sense a certain way?
Yeah. And I think I just tweeted this the other day with a picture of me in, like, little boys' clothes. But yes, it was my mom's best friend's son, my godbrother. And we were born, like, 9 months apart. And so she was giving my mom his old stuff, the shoes and the clothes and everything. And so I was wearing his old stuff. And I think that I didn't think about that back then, but my personality has always kind of been rough and tumble too. And so, you know, I think that, like, I wasn't thinking that, but a few weeks ago, and it's like random things, because I have brain surgery, that are, like, coming back to me. And that's one of them, of like, oh yeah, I can see how, like, I've been this way my whole life. Or, like, little picture, I have, like, a Mr. T punching bag. It's like, oh yeah, I've been this way. Or I tweeted the other day, like, I realized I never had Barbie. Or, like, you know, like, these Barbies in a dream house. Like, that was not.
Yeah.
I had Ninja Turtles and, like.
Hey, there you go.
And, like, little wrestling figures, you know? And
stuff.
Like, okay, well, I've been this way my whole life.
That's awesome, though. And I love that, because, again, it's just, like, it just proves the point that not everyone's this cookie cutter. It's like everyone has these different experiences, which means, and that really brings in their particular, again, fashion sense on what they, you know, what they want to wear, how they like it. So I think that's something that is super, super important.
And I think my mom, when I see pictures of my mom in the 80s and 90s,
You hear me?
Oh, you're talking, but I can't hear you.
Nope. Hold on. Give me 1 second. 1 second. I know what happened. My door's open now. It is still one more day before kids go back to school, so they all bombarded me. I'm like, oh, no, not yet. No, that's the, you saw the little blinking light. So that's my bad. Nick, you can edit that out. No, what were you saying? I'm sorry about that.
I don't recall.
Yeah. So when it comes to, like you said, you didn't have Barbies, you played Ninja Turtles and things like that. It really gets to, again, this old individual, again, a style that people come from different backgrounds. It's like, we want this, we want that. But looking, you know, from your business, True to Size, seems like that is really what you were, the strategist role that you're providing to these different brands that you're working with. How do you assess that when you go in? Is it, hey, I see what you guys are working with now, plus a bunch of meetings? What does your process look like when it comes to helping these brands out?
Oh my God. A long strategic process, but you know, it starts with the discovery meetings and the like, what are you struggling with? What,
yeah,
you know, the problems are in these small focus groups. But the biggest thing is that a lot of the brands don't have cross-sectional teams. And so a lot, what I saw as a big problem was that marketing's working with marketing, you know, like PR is working with PR, but like nobody's talking to each other. And so design is working, but design is not talking to marketing. And so it's like, okay, well, you need a cross-sectional team so that the product keeps the through line and like it makes sense at the end of it. Because I remember one time I was brought in to work on a product launch and the shoe was like a number and a letter, like 52H or something like that. Like, and I was like, okay, what does this mean? And then they were like, we don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, and then I'm like, what does the H stand for? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, well, why is it called? Like, how did we get here? You know? And so it's like those types of things is like everybody, you need to be in communication in all sections of the pipeline so that the product makes sense on the through end. And so I would, you know, we have like individual team meetings first, and then we build a cross-sectional team, like one person from every one of those teams. And then that is like core group. And then we meet, you know, and I give them homework and questions to, you know, to think about and to answer and take all that back. And then I hire a research company to kind of look into some things that I'm thinking of, like, where are the trends here and what, get some additional data and statistics on. And then kind of compile all that into a deck that we hand off after like 8 weeks.
Well, cool. So there, you guys have, like I said, there's a whole strategy put together with this to make sure that you're getting that right need. I guess when it's all said and done, what does a win look like for you? Is it, are you guys looking at sales numbers, looking at interactions? What does that look like for you, Jess?
It depends on what the project is, but something like that, like just an overall general strategy is seeing that like it's hitting on every time it's something is accomplished. So people are responding to it, you know? So I think, well, a few years ago we did the New York City Marathon with New Balance. We did mile 16, which is typically the area of the marathon where runners fall out and they have ambulances there.
Oh, dang.
Mile 16 is like, like where things get really tough, like in the race, I guess. And so New Balance's sponsorship was like having some type of activation there that would empower them to keep going. Excuse me. And so they were like, okay, well, what do you think we should do? And that's the thing, that's the strategy part, right? And I think that people, again, like in the community, don't understand, like, I normally just sell that. Like, you want me to actually do it? That's another fee, you know, like, that's production. Like, those are two different things, you know? And so a lot of times people want to just do, they think that that's all like, okay, I'll write the strategy and I'll produce it. It's like, typically that's not how it works in this business. But so I tell them, okay, well, I think we should do like a Beyonce moment there, like a, you know, a home or like a homecoming, like HBCU homecoming moment there.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that will really invigorate the runners. And so for me, it's like, okay, well, when they're very excited about it, it's like, okay, that's the first win, because they're not going to edit anything or try to like water me down.
Yeah.
You know, and like when they kind of just hand it over, that's another win, because it's like, okay, now you trust me to execute it. And so they, you know, a lot of times they bring us in because it's, you know, that process is called checking the fit. So it's like we check the fit to make sure that the whole thing is true to size for the right audience, for the right product, you know, and the right message for the right audience, and like all of these, everything fits together.
Yeah.
And so the big win, though, is when we're out there, you know, and we're, you know, I have Corey Towns DJing because I'm like, who do I know back then that's like, is going to get it lit? And Corey, you know, I was like, it'll be Corey. And who's been telling me that they want to get into like branded projects?
Oh, there you go.
Corey was one of them. And I know Corey forever. So I was like, I'm going to call Corey. And so Corey actually musically programmed a kind of entire little moment, a little set or with the musical acts that we had. So yeah. I also brought in Brooklyn United, which is a young Black boys drumming program in Brooklyn. Cool. And then I can't remember what the girls' names were, but there was the dancers were from Harlem.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was like I brought in a brass band that was a women of color samba band.
And oh, dope.
And that's what the brands like bring us in for, because we have those relationships and we will do the work to kind of figure out who are the correct vendors, right? Like, you want this to be yeah. Black fuck. Like, what do you want it to, you know, who are the right vendors to bring in for that?
Yeah.
To really make it happen. And so we're out there and Corey's spinning and the bands are playing and the girls are dancing. And I'm like, I look out and I see people coming back. Like, they're backtracking their race. So that they can,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So that they can like film, you know, the whole thing going on. Because we also design like little hats, you know, like we design marching band New Balance outfits for them.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then my designer was Christian, who is Soulfly's designer. I think his brother owns Soulfly. So he, at that time, like he did a lot of my designs for New Balance projects, for sure. I love Christian. But so we made the whole thing and then we designed the drums with the stickers on them and everything. And so it was, you know, I'll send you some photos. So
like, it's like no stone unturned here. I love it.
And so you see people backtracking so they could film. And then there's a dude who is running the race. He's he has only one leg. He has a metal leg for the other leg. And so he's coming, but he's like holding the other leg. Like, so
what?
So he's dancing on his one leg, holding his other leg, like just stopped. There were people that just stopped their race, you know, to dance in that moment. And so, yeah, that for me was a win, you know?
Yeah, heck yeah. To get runners who are worried about time to stop and just like enjoy something. Yeah, yeah, that was definitely a win. That's so awesome. Yeah, man, that's just cool. I wish I could have been in an event like that. Any events that you can talk about that you're working on for beginning of this year? I know.
Usually this is a really busy time because I do Black History Month and Women's History Month back to back, but I'm just now coming back to work. So hoping to pitch it. I have some pitches set up to hope to work on some things this year. But Sisters in Soul, which is the women's faction of the Black Footwear Forum, we are figuring out what we're going to do in March for women and also what this programming look like this year for us.
Awesome. I got to tell you, I gotta get out to Black Footwear Forum. I haven't been able to make it yet. And I was like, it's one of the things like on my vision board. I'm like, I want to get out there and hopefully this year, if all stars align, because this is something that's, you know, it's really cool, really informative. And you guys do a heck of a job with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I know like you said you suffered a stroke. Be able to come back at this capacity, Jazz, that is absolutely, sneakers aside, that is a heck of a comeback. That takes some resiliency. That takes work. And again, outside of the things you have done, just that feat alone, gotta give you a hand clap on that, because God knows that's not hard. That's not easy to bounce back from.
It's been a long year and my hand still does not, like, I can't type or write with this hand. Mm-hmm. I can only do small movements, but like I'm not going to be able to come back and be hands-on in my production process because I can't carry boxes and stuff like that. So I think, like, you know, I will say that about the year before I had the stroke, my boyfriend was telling me, like, you should really think about building out a team that could, like, and for you not to be, like, overseeing everything, because you should be, like, not, you know, as the founder of the business, you shouldn't have to be, like, worried about these smaller things. But, like, I love to have my hands in everything, right? And so he was telling me, and, like, I was praying on it, because it's like, you know, I need to pray on it to, like, step away from it.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I had the stroke, and thank God when I had the stroke, I had a team in place. Like, mm-hmm. I had just kind of built a team. And so Latisse, who was managing the project for me, shout out to her, because she pretty much took over my business, because I was like, it randomly happened in the middle of producing a year of Adidas Legacy. Mm-hmm. And so we were in the middle of producing like 4 events every month when I had the stroke.
Wow.
In different cities, 4 events in different cities every month. And so it was a lot going on.
Yeah. Jeez.
And so I like went back. My son told me when I got out of surgery, the first thing I said was, where's my phone? I need to talk to my team.
Ready to work immediately.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know? So when I had the opportunity, it was when my last project kind of ended, I was like, I'm just going to take some time off.
Yeah.
Because one, I went right back to work from the hospital bed. And two, like, I've been a mom since I was 19. Yeah. I've been going hard all this time. I've never had a break. Like, I'm going to give myself a few months off to just like try to really rest and be able to have the strength to come back and figure out my whole life looks different now. Like, what am I going to do on this side of it?
Yeah.
What does my business look like on this side of it? So yeah.
Oh, definitely. And rest is well deserved, you know, from everything. And it helps you put things in perspective, too. Like you said, you probably have a whole new lens on how some of these things work and how they look. And you know yourself better as well, just from all that. So
not only that, like my capabilities, like I'm legit disabled now. So
yeah,
it's like,
right.
OK, excuse me. So
oh,
I have to figure out how it's going to look now. You know, like, no, I can't fly by myself. So it's like, how am I going to? Somebody else is going to have to go for me. Like,
yeah. No, but just the journey is amazing. Guys, as you're listening to this or watching whatever one you're doing, I you got to be able to appreciate the journey, because from there to now and being just, she said it before, consistent along the way through challenges, this is one of those things you won't find that a lot of places.
Resiliency.
Oh, yeah. See, you're right. Almost left out. So consistency and resiliency, you won't find it a lot of places, because people, if it gets hard, it gets tough, a lot of times they just they stop.
I've seen a lot of people leave this business over the years, but a handful of people kept going. And like, you know, those people are, I love to see them outside. You know, it's like, I just talked to Mosh.
Yeah, shout out Mosh.
He sent me a DM. He's like, yo, I've never thanked you, but you were one of the very few people. One second. All right. I've never thanked you, but you're one of the very few people that supported me like back then, and like always kind of, you know, posted my work when I was starting out, and thank you. And so it's like, yeah, I think the people that a lot of the people I started with are like really flourishing, and because they kept going. They didn't, they tried different things. They didn't allow like one thing to just kind of end their journey.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about pivoting sometimes and learning. So I hope you learned as much as I learned in this episode, because this is one of those, this goes down to some of my favorite episodes, Jazz. So I just got to let you know that just right off the rip. I love it. I appreciate the time you've given us today. I know if you're anywhere, guys, on any sneaker media, you've seen Jazz. If you haven't followed her already, you need to, because she does some amazing things. She has some great bits of wisdom, knowledge she drops on all her different platforms. So you're shorting yourself if you don't follow her. And Jazz, I want to say I appreciate your time. I know you're super busy, again, with the business, still recovering, but I appreciate you taking a little time out for us here. And let them know how to follow you. Let them know how to find you.
On Instagram, it's Nerd Like Jazzy. Word to my first digital project, Nerd Like. Me and Jack Slade. That was our little blog before we got into this business. And let's see, on TikTok, I'm Nerd Like Jazzy also. I don't post a lot there though. I'm like very old, so I'm, you know, and again, editing video is not my ministry. So I'm trying, but like I don't do a lot there. But on Twitter, it's Jazzy Ray, R-A-R-A-E, like Raekwon. And yeah, I guess that's everywhere, right? Yeah.
That's all the places that matter, right?
Yeah. That's right.
That's awesome. Hey, you know what? And on professional side of things, and I'm on LinkedIn.
I'm Jazzy Allen Lord.
There you go. Yep. That's the one. I was like, you know what? We talked about this professional stuff. We got at least got to throw LinkedIn in there. So awesome. Well, Jazz, I really do, again, appreciate the time. Guys, make sure she threw out all the socials. Check her out. Make sure you follow us as well. It's a brand new year, 2026. We're looking to be bigger and better than we were last year. I appreciate you guys for sticking around with us for 6 years now, which is wild to me. We've been doing it for that long. Thank you, guys. Subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. And until next time, guys. See ya.